What do you do on a Friday night during the off season? What are you doing right now?
I literally just got done addressing a local college class on TV broadcasting and communications. I just got done working in concert with David Steele, who's the play-by-play voice of the Orlando Magic. So that's what I did on a Friday night in the summertime.
What's the most, not to put you on the spot, was there a question that threw you off or that was real thought-provoking from the students where you're like, I hadn't really thought of that before?
You know, I got lucky tonight in terms of that. Didn't have one of those questions. But overall, some really, really good questions about, you know, the business and how to be, you know, how to get into it and how to do it, which was really, really good. But I didn't have anything that just threw me tonight. Although, as you guys know, in our business, sometimes you go talk to a class, they'll hit you with some good stuff, won't they?
Yes. And is the answer that you give, like me, when they say, how do you get in the business, just say, don't?
Yeah. You know, I usually say, if you can just delay it until I'm out of it, that would help me with my odds of keeping my job a little bit longer.
There you go. All right, what would you say to a 30-year-old running back who's made pretty good money in the National Football League, probably has some gas left in the tank when he says to the world, hey, I'm quitting, I'm done, I'm going to retire?
Yeah, what I say to him is, if you're not getting the offer you want, then you darn well should go ahead and retire. Because I've got a pretty good idea that DeMarco is taking good care of his money and knows what he's doing with it. And if he's not getting what he's looking for, I don't see a reason to play. Now, I will say this. These types of retirements, because you didn't get the offer you want now, I don't believe that it's 100% permanent. You get a contender who needs a runner, he may very well be back this season in his position where it's a strong playoff team with a chance to go deep. That might be the motivation for him to come back and play, because as a veteran who can do everything, run it, catch it, block for the quarterback, he would be a nice addition for someone, and he would assimilate quickly.
You know, I was also thinking with DeMarco Murray, and we're talking to Charles Davis from Fox, that it wouldn't be the worst thing to take a year off, really get healthy, because he was never healthy last year. I mean, he had a 75-yard run in a game, and he was, like, limping down the field. He had really an amazing year, considering his hamstring issue from the get-go. But taking a year off, and how about this concept? What if the Raiders need a running back for a couple of years, and you're with the Oakland Raiders at the end of the Oakland run, and you're actually one of the first members of the Las Vegas Raiders on a two-year deal?
I think that would be fantastic. It would be wonderful. And, you know, the concept of getting a year off and getting healthy is never a bad one. The hard part for a guy like DeMarco Murray is a running back that takes a year off at the age of 30, the stigma that comes with that and getting people to sign you when they can get that young runner and what they would determine cheaper, perhaps, might be the deterrent for that. That would be the only thing.
How hard is that first training camp and that first week of NFL games when your career is over?
I can't even begin to imagine. I wasn't good enough to make it in the NFL, so I'll relate it to you. I played Division I at SEC school at Tennessee. So the only way I can relate it to you is this. You know, there's a routine to your life when you're playing, right? On a Friday night in college football, you get on the bus, you know, you've had a big meal, and you go to the hotel, you know, you go watch a movie, you go to the hotel, the next day the bus rolls in for the game, crowds cheering, the whole deal, and all of a sudden, you're not on the bus on Friday, you're not at the hotel Friday night, you're at the meeting Saturday, but the killer is when the team comes out on the field to warm up and someone else is wearing your jersey. That's a difficult adjustment, even for just a regular college Joe like me. I can't imagine what it's like for a guy who's had big-time success in the NFL and you've wrapped up a lot of your identity in being that person.
Cofield and Company on this Friday. Big Five on the way in about 10 minutes. Charles Davis, nice enough to join us, talking DeMarco Murray, retirement. You have a chance to talk to DeMarco in the past? Just wonder what your impression of him is, because we talked to him, and I'm not going to say I'm a DeMarco Murray expert, but he always struck me as a guy. Well, I'll use this as a compliment. He certainly wasn't a meathead without other options. I'm not going to say he didn't love football, but he always struck me as a guy who was playing because it was a job, and there are other things he can be doing.
Yeah, and, you know, I've always been very hesitant about the, you know, and this isn't a disagreement with you at all.
Right.
But I've always looked at guys that have those other options. It doesn't mean they didn't love football or don't love football. But that means that they also know how to plan for life without football.
Right.
And to me, there's nothing wrong with that. I can tell you that coming out of college in 1986, there were plenty of people that like, oh, this kid's got a lot of other interests, blah, blah, blah. You know, I have to grad, you know, I graduated in 4 years. I had a graduate season to play. You know, the perception of a lot of the older scouts in the league is they don't like you to have a lot of extra interests.
Right.
They think that you won't be focused.
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray had other interests, and that's going to serve him in good stead. But I don't think there's anyone that's ever played with him, been around him, any of his teams that could accurately say he didn't love football, he didn't prepare well, he wasn't a great teammate, and didn't produce on the field. His toughest year was Philadelphia, probably,
yeah,
because of the expectations that were built up in Dallas. But that was more of a fit than it was DeMarco didn't love football. He loved football. It just didn't fit very well with what Chip Kelly was trying to get done.
We were talking about the angle of, you know, running back in the National Football League and how the position has changed. It's not a glamour position anymore. And how hard it is to really make an elite living, because you can explode your first couple of years and you really can't get that first big deal until you're 5-6 years into your career.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's just every snap they put the ball on your chest, someone's hitting you.
Yep.
You know, you're not a lineman, but their collisions are a little bit more close quarters, if that makes any sense. Not that those collisions aren't big time collisions, because that's 300+ pounds. Those are mastodons hitting each other. But you get that ball in your chest and you run 3, 4, 5 yards, someone's smacking you, and it's all the extras, you know, it's that hit on your thigh, right? It's a hit up underneath your pads and your shoulders. It's going down, and that extra helmet gets you. You know, the extra forearm gets you. Things of that nature. Down after down after down, and the accumulation is like boxing. It's attrition, right? The body shots, and finally you go down. That's what a runner goes through. Remember Kajana Carter? Number one pick in the entire draft. Blew his knee in a preseason game, was never the same guy again. So that's what you worry about being a runner. But I'd say DeMarco Murray, remember, coming out of college, he had a ton of injuries. Remember the hamstring coming off the bone, and, you know, he wasn't exactly the healthiest runner you've seen. He's fashioned together one heck of a NFL career.
No question about it. Now, I retired from video games about 6 years ago.
You retired? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay.
Do I need to get back in? I think I need to get in Madden.
Listen, as a guy that is lucky enough to be part of the Madden franchise, and one of the two guys that yaps on the game, myself and a man by the name of Brandon God, you know, we highly advise you getting back in. And you know, if it sounds self-serving, it's only because it is. Because if you're buying games, that's more opportunities for us, and we hope that gets down to the bottom line, which is us. Like the old expression, I'm a very charitable person. And I have been taught that charity begins at home. So please, get back into the video game.
What was that experience like for you? And how long does that take? Because I'm always amazed, and I'm so dumb technologically, but, like, to play the game and have so many different phrases and things that are said, it has to take forever.
Well, I could never quantify it by hours, because that's just not what we do. But I'll put it to you this way. Our year starts in preseason NFL. I usually want week one or week two of preseason NFL, and we wrap up each year's game somewhere around mid to late June.
Wow.
Now, understand, that's not working every week, every day, okay? I don't want people to get the wrong impression. But in the last few years, what the Madden people did, and I give them a lot of credit for having the foresight and the ability to do this, is that they've started adding live commentary during the season. Back when you were playing the game, when you bought the game in August, that was the game until next year, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, on Mondays and Tuesdays, during the NFL season, Brandon and I come in and go into the studio after the games are played on Sunday and Monday, and we do fresh live commentary on each team for that week. And then you can download it into your game starting Wednesday, Thursday.
Wow.
And so you got fresh new content every week of the NFL season through the Super Bowl.
Sounds like a problem.
Yeah,
I played too much. That was my problem. That's why I had to get out.
Now it's even cooler.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you played so much, you could probably predict every single line that came up. And I'm not about to say that every line we do is going to be flat-out fresh. If you play it enough, we're going to be repetitive at times. But there's no way that there is not more content in the game now than there's ever been, just by the virtue of us doing the live commentary each and every week. And I know we do more hours than any other commentary team has ever done before. And that's, you know, based on just how they're doing the model of the game now, and Brandon and I being maybe a little bit more available than other guys who are bigger names and bigger stars than we are, and their schedule is probably a little more jammed.
Charles Davis, Fox and Madden on Cofield and Company. You mentioned freshening up the play-by-play, the takes, the analysis on the game. Can they freshen up, like, speed ratings? I just saw that Leonard Fournette is all pissed, and he said, take me off the game, I'm way too slow.
Like, you know, it's funny. They're all upset every time those things get released. Now, where I've been lucky is I've done the game for 3 years now, and we'll start a fourth year here in August. Most of the guys, because we're not, quote-unquote, in the game, our faces, most of the guys, it's just voices. And I'm sure a lot of times they hit the mute button because they just want to play the game. So it's slowly leaking out around the league that I actually am part of the commentary, which means I'm now getting more of the vitriol about their ratings.
God.
Okay? And I find it great because that means they're part of the franchise. They like playing.
Yeah.
But I keep telling them, I can't help you with that part, but I'll gladly give you the number of the guy that you should be talking to. And the thing is, the ratings can change during the season based on how a guy is playing.
Ooh.
And true story, a couple years ago, Chandler Jones got 2 sacks in a game, and he didn't even know I was doing the game, and we were talking to him before a game, and he was like, man, see those 2 sacks last week? If my Madden rating doesn't change next week, I'm going to kill somebody. And I was like, yeah, you should. You should, Chandler. Okay, next question. Moving along. I'm kicking guys under the table. Don't sweep anything. Just keep moving.
You get to do a lot of Carolina Panther games, so I want your reaction to the ownership decision. Do you agree with David Tepper over Bobby Axelrod?
I'm a big Axe fan. I can't wait to meet David Tepper and congratulate him on taking over the team. But I'm Team Axe all the time.
Do you want to explain the Billions character? Because I just started watching that show, and I'm power watching it, so I'm through like a season and a half. That show is ridiculous, and that character is, I'm not going to say it's an all-time character, but maybe this century. That is a great character Damian Lewis plays.
He is phenomenal, isn't he? I mean,
oh my God.
The UK. I don't know if you saw the picture of him on Twitter today sitting in the royal box at Wimbledon.
Great
picture of him sitting in the royal box and the look on his face. And so I tweeted out, there's Axe contemplating his next big power play with Wags at his side.
Right.
And hey, down with Bill, get that minivan ready to go. You may not have seen that episode yet, but you'll see it. But Axe, I'm just telling you, he's, in a lot of ways, he's the guy we all want to be, because we all want to be billionaires.
Oh, yeah.
But we also want to be able to play with power, right? We also want to be able to, you know, stroll into every room and know that we're the envy, even if people hate us in the room. And you're like, don't hate me because I'm richer than you are. And who doesn't want to pay cash for a house that costs $80 million? We all do.
Wait, I got to go back like about 10 seconds ago. You're not the envy of everyone when you walk in a room?
Let me put it to you this way. Most people don't know me when I walk into a room. Yeah. And those that do, if I walk into a room with Damian Lewis or if he walked in, especially as Axe, you think anyone's going to know I'm even there at that point?
Mm.
In fact, I'm not going to know that I'm there. I'm the one running over to meet Axe.
Of course,
we want to be Axe.
Hey, last one off your Twitter handle, because, yes, I was looking at your Twitter page. I saw that you posted some rankings of defensive linemen. Right now, if you were a team, you know, looking at the draft, would you take Bosa? We're talking Nick Bosa or Rashawn Gary?
Oh, boy, that's a great one. It's going to be hard for me to turn down Bosa. Bloodlines, ability to rush the passer, play at the point of attack, and I think that Bosa's going to be more of an end, and I think that Gary's going to be more of a tackle. You know,
really?
The ratings weren't mine. They were a colleague of mine that, by the name of Lance Zerline. I just retweeted them for him. But when I watch those two play so far, Gary, I just think that inside as a pass rusher, he'll be great over guard. And I think Bosa can do that in under situations, in nickel situations, sub packages, but he also comes off that edge just like his bro. I can't wait to see it all happen. That guy plays the game so hard every single snap. it's hard for me to turn down a post, I can just tell you that.
So it sounds like you like to watch TV. Did you get a chance to watch the Amazon season-long piece on Michigan?
I did not watch that one. I ended up watching the one, the Dallas Cowboys, because I did the NFL game.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of made a strategic decision on that one. Plus, I'll just be honest about it. You know, Michigan gets so much attention, more power to them, and deservedly so in terms of creating that with Jim Harbaugh. But I'm like, you know, I'm waiting for the season that you actually break through and you beat Ohio State, and then I'm there for that.
All right.
So this year, you're ready. Good.
Shots fired. My partner's a Michigan fan, so.
Hey, listen, look, what he has done has been terrific. But have you noticed the difference this year in his offseason versus the first three at Michigan? It's a lot quieter.
He's grinding.
He's
a lot
grinding,
quieter.
Yeah.
Yep. We're not worried about what khakis, sleeping over at a kid's house, what camps we're going to. Yep. It's all about getting players and getting ready to go, because at the end of the day, that other stuff is great. Get you kids and you go to Rome, and that's wonderful. No one's going to care about that come that last week in November.
Charles, we appreciate a couple of minutes. You can follow Charles Davis from Fox at CFD22. Thank you for the time on a Friday. We'll see you.
Thanks for having me, guys. You take care of yourselves, and make sure you finish off all the billions so you're caught up for next year. You got some good stuff to watch.
You got it.
Thanks.